All right, welcome back. We'll get back to open lines in just a second. I do want to remind everybody that in the special event series that we do here at Coast, the Eat and Greet Luncheons at the Great Greek Restaurant right here in Sherman Oaks, California with George and Ari. The Great Greek is one of my favorite restaurants right there on Ventura Boulevard. And the next one is this Tuesday, September 26th, with author, paranormal researcher, and good friend, Rosemary Ellen Guiley. You don't want to miss this. The tickets are going fast, so reserve a spot now. All you have to do is email your name and phone number to lunchwithgeorge@gmail.com. You can check out all of the details in the George's Events section over at Coast to Coast AM. Okay, it's Friday night. It's after midnight, which means it's September 23rd. Is it the end of the world as we know it? Well, what's going on your side of the fence? We'll find out next with your calls. This is Coast to Coast AM. All right, welcome back to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. It's Friday night. It's open lines. And I'm looking here. I've got, Gina, is this right? I've got three calls from Alaska. So let's go to the first one. Robert in Nome, Alaska. Robert, you're up next on Coast.
Okay, let me shut off the computer generator. Okay, good. I've been waiting 10 years to tell this. I know where there's the world's largest deposits of gold here on the peninsula. My three family members were murdered over this gold. It's been hidden for 120 years. One of the deposits has 40 pieces. One of them's the size of your leg. The rest should go down from 1,000 pounds on down to 100 pounds. There's another deposit. It's a pile that's been stacked up. All of these been touched. That's been stacked up. It's the size of a Volkswagen. Now, the reason none of this was ever touched is because three family members were murdered and the natives did not want anyone else to die. I know where all of these are. It took 26 years for my native friend to tell me this story. He tried and tried to tell it. No one wanted to hear it because they say these three lucky Swedes found the gold. It's a lie. Konstantin Aparzuk found this gold and he was persuaded to go back east after they dug up $450,000 worth. That means somewhere around $40 million this day. And the people that did, Konstantin was murdered back in Illinois by the Covenant Church. This church is in action right now. They're going to freak out. They have tried to stop me.
Well, Robert, what are you going to, are you saying you know where the gold is, so you're going to recover it yourself? Or are you going to tell us where it is and everybody's going to head to Alaska? What's going to go on?
Well, it won't do them no good. It's in pockets. The one is the size of a Volkswagen bug. The other is a cave that's the size of a tire. When you go inside it, there are 40 pieces of gold dripping out of the ceiling. One the size of your leg, they go down from there. That means the biggest one is around 1,000 pounds.
Have you been inside? Have you been inside the cave yourself?
I've stood outside it. I swore to my partner, he tried for over 40 years to tell this story, and he got shut down every time. Now, he wrote this whole story. I've got the books, the court documents where this church fought each other to give the money back to this poor little native, and then they murdered him, and they shared the money with this church and his president.
Well, Robert, you called in the Coast to Coast with this information. What do you want to do with it?
I'd like to get a big television show and go out and show the world these massive deposits of gold. I can do it. Now, the reason I have not done it, the minute Jacob told me where they were, I was helping him raise his grandson. They went to camp. I started to dredge in the ocean. The state troopers came to me and told me the little boy I was raising with Jacob has just drowned, that I needed to go up the river, retrieve him. So I do this. On the way home, I'm so distraught, I'm biting my jaw, and I black out at the wheel, and I drive off a cliff. I bust Grandma up. She passes away a short time before David's birthday, who had just drowned. His birthday's December 28th. And that day, my brother and sister committed suicide. So I've not done anything for 10 years.
Well, Robert, that's rough. But if you want a big TV show, you don't need a network. an iPhone. Go videotape all of it yourself. You can put it up on YouTube. You'd be the most famous person in the world.
All I need is a helicopter, and I can prove all of this in a matter of days.
Why would you need a helicopter?
Because it's in a wall straight up and down 1,000 feet.
I thought you said you stood outside of the cave.
Yes, I have. I've stood below it.
Okay.
But I gave my word I would not touch anything until you just made me worth $700 million just now. You just did this.
Oh, okay.
I'm allowed to go touch these deposits. I have turned down people who have offered me so much money, and I've lived on nothing.
Right.
Now, I just walked out of the wilderness 75 miles to tell this story. There are piles of grizzly bears. I've been attacked by grizzly bears so many times, and I live with this man who tried and tried. I have all the documents on this, where they spent their money, how they became famous, everything. But I can produce more gold than any human's ever seen. Massive amount.
$700 million. That's a big chunk of money.
And that's probably underestimating it. I haven't even told you the big one.
What's the big one?
It's supposedly, I just went to it. I just found it a couple weeks ago. I was taken out, dropped off 130 miles, and I walked back to town. And I found where the claim marker is. I have the claim. It's another church trying to swindle the family. I have all them documents. Jacob shut it down. This thing is massive. It's supposed to be a mountain 1,400 feet tall of gold. Now, the easy ones are the two I just told you. The pile that's piled up like a Volkswagen, I can see it from the air in 10 minutes. The hole in the wall, I need a helicopter to get up to look in. I've been stood in front of it. I have not looked in it, but I could produce it in a matter of days. All I have to do, he told me all the secrets. I can't tell all these secrets or somebody might try to find this.
Right.
But nobody's expecting this. It took me a long time to get the guts to talk to you guys.
Well, it's incredible. And don't forget, Robert, today you don't need a network to tell you if you've got a TV show or not. You've got a TV show with your cell phone. You can do whatever you want. You can edit it, get it up on YouTube, and document everything. All those landmarks you're talking about, the documents, all of the stuff can be done on your own. And it's easy. You don't need anybody else's money, power. You don't have to split the $700 million with somebody. So think about that.
Splitting it with anyone. I just want to be able to show it. I promised I would do this. I promised Jacob I would do this, get this whole story out. It's going to become a book or a movie or something.
Right.
I promise you that because you've just made me a multimillionaire by letting me on the phone.
Thank you so much. Robert, be safe and be well. And that's what Coast to Coast is all about. We're here for you. Thank you so much. Oh, I think he's gone. Okay. All right. Let's go to Gina. Is this real? Gina, we have Gina on the phone. Okay. Let's go to west of the Rockies. Gina in Washington State. You're up next on Coast.
Hi. Good evening. How you doing?
I'm doing good, Gina. What's on your mind?
First, I want to say God bless to everyone and everything everywhere. And I want to add to that, we need to pray really, really hard, considering what we just heard on your show. Two items. One is about a plane, and the other one's about a UFO.
Okay. Let's do the plane first. UFO last.
Okay. I've told this before, probably a few months ago, trying to talk to this gentleman again, and I missed him. But in the meantime, I was flying from Fort Lauderdale in Florida and flying to Seattle. And I don't know where I was, partway through the flight, about halfway through or so, a straight shot flight. There were two jets. One appeared and crossed underneath the plane really close. And then a second one appeared and crossed underneath that jet. And they were spraying out the back of them, you know, chemtrails.
Wow.
Yeah. It was very, very scary. And I looked around on the plane, and everyone's playing with their computers and their phones.
Well, of course.
No one was paying attention. It was just bizarre because you could, you know, feel it and hear it too. Anyhow, you know how a jet goes. You know. Anyhow, the second one is a UFO one. I was in Granite Falls. I was on Getchell Road, headed to the Granite Falls Highway, and there's a gas station on the right. And well before I got to the gas station, I could see, this is broad daylight, a big, huge, triangular, black UFO hovering, 50 feet or so above that whole little shopping center right there with the gas station and, you know, little strip mall thing. Anyhow, it was big and huge, and everyone's driving around and pumping gas and walking to the store and this. Nobody's paying any attention to it, except for one vehicle parked underneath it, looking up at it. And just as I drove into the parking lot, they left, and then I parked underneath it. My daughter was trying to get out of the vehicle. I told her, just stay inside, and I stepped out and looked underneath, and there was a light on each corner, just one light. It was daytime. Pretty soon I had this feeling like it was time for me to go. So I left, and I'm watching. Everybody's just doing their thing. No one sees it. No one is seeing it. It's right there. And then there's a car driving in as I'm driving out, and it's staring at me and looking up at this UFO. And it was like one at a time we were allowed to park underneath it and observe it, but nobody else could see it, apparently. But my daughter and I did. And as we were driving to the little stoplight, which is just 20 feet or so outside of the shopping mall thing, my daughter and I are discussing it, and she's already starting to forget. And so I'm realizing, oh, they're making her forget. So I repeated it over and over and over and over and over again until I could tell a friend.
When you see something like that and nobody else is noticing, are you assuming it's done for you? Or, you know what I mean? That just other people just don't see it at all. Or is it just that people's attention span, you know, it just doesn't.
No, this thing was maybe three times the size of that little lot, you know, that has the stores on it. This thing was big. And it was there, and it was only, like I said, maybe 50 feet up. I'm not good at judging distances. But,
sure.
And it was just right there. And it was like we were allowed to, like, one at a time, like, go and sit under it and observe it and then go on our way. And it was like it was cloaked to everybody else. Like, they could not see it, maybe.
Wow, that's just incredible. What a great experience. And did you see anything on it to indicate that it was our military? You know, I know it's a basic question. Hey. Is it us or there, you know? Ours, or is it ET? But what do you think? Do you think it was our military, our Air Force?
No, I don't. I've had many different kinds of UFO experiences with different other kinds and ones that done things I've asked and you name it. But in the meantime, no, that's not the feeling in the sense I got at all. No.
Right.
Although I think even though I couldn't hear it communicate in my ear, it's like I had the feeling I was supposed to see it. I had the feeling I was supposed to drive underneath it.
Right.
The other person left at exactly the right time for me to park underneath it. Then I knew it was my turn to go. It was a sense of a feeling of something from them, let's say.
Yeah, how cool is that? And thank you for calling in and sharing that with us. And for everybody up there in Washington State that was in that area, how long ago was this, Gina?
Oh, my gosh. This was years ago. My daughter was probably 5 years old. So probably 25 years ago.
25 years ago. Okay, there you go. If anybody else has got another sighting like that around that time, 25 years ago in Grants Pass, let us know. Thank you so much, Gina. Great phone call. Enjoy the rest of your night. We'll see you tomorrow night right here on Coast. It will be our end of the world special event. Let's go to, you know what, I've got just enough time to squeeze in a call from Cornelius. Cornelius, welcome to Coast. Welcome back.
Hey, Jimmy Church, like I tell everybody, and George, and Tommy, and Gina, I'm the God, Guns, and Gold man, the Bible, Bullets, and Bees man, telling everybody to get ready there, Mr. Church.
That's what I'm talking about, Cornelius. Okay, really quick, before we hit the break, what's on your mind?
Yeah, the guy that was on, he was real good and everything, Dan, or Dale.
Dane,
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
The only thing... And Jimmy, I think you believe in God and stuff too, don't you?
I think it's a personal question to ask.
Okay, well, all right.
You know what, Cornelius, I'm not being negative, you know what I mean? But my beliefs and where my brain goes, we don't have that kind of time, okay? So let's just say I'm cool with it. How's that?
Yeah, but I believe in God, and God controls everything. Now, man does have some responsibility and stuff, but I believe, like I said, if it's evil people doing this and they're trying to destroy the world, then...
They got what's coming. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Cornelius, don't forget what my last name is.
Yeah, Jimmy Church.
That's what I'm talking about. Okay, so what's on your mind? Cornelius, are you okay? I think we lost Cornelius. Wow, just like see, you bring up religion and church in one sentence with Cornelius, man. He just dropped the phone. That's what I'm talking about. Do I have enough time for one more call? Dan says, keep going. So I will. So let's go to Patty in Seattle. Patty, you're up next on Coast.
I knew you were going to do that to me.
You knew it.
I would end up being the last caller with 30 seconds to go.
Well, no, you've got more like 2 minutes, but what's on your mind, Patty?
Well, all right. I got a couple of things to say. For one, I wanted to give a shout-out to all the C2C listeners like me, and especially Cornelius. Hi, how are you doing? I love y'all. And you're my family, as you are, Jimmy. I love you to pieces.
All right, okay? Patty.
So, what I wanted to tell you about, I mean, Dan Wiggington's gone. I hope he's still listening. But this thing happened in Seattle, one of the most heavily chemtrailed cities in the continental U.S.
Sure.
Okay, you know, we've had forest fires everywhere all year long, or most of the summer, I want to say. But this weird thing happened. Okay, we had forest fires, just this last week blow through, and you could smell the smoke so thick it'd make you cough and sneeze.
Right.
But about 2 weeks ago, we had smoke cover, and they reported ash fall with this smoke.
Yes, I heard about that. And it was everywhere.
It was everywhere. But mm-hmm. Here's the funny thing about it. You can ask 100 people. You couldn't smell any smoke.
Yeah, I heard about that. And it was everywhere. It was up and down. Yeah. I think it went all the way down into Oregon.
Yeah, right. Well, when we had the Canadian wildfires blowing down into Seattle, you could smell the smoke for no question about it. It would choke you. You know, you almost needed to wear a mask. But this one covered the sky so thickly that the sun was pinkish red and the moon at night was blood red.
Blood red. And we heard about all of that, and we were seeing some of it down here. And Patty, thank you for the phone call. We're going to be headed towards a break right here. But the orange moon, the red moon, the sun, the skies, the ash, all of this, and the smoke, smell, and lack of it was all over the place, right here in Burbank, too. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. We'll be back with more of your phone calls right after this. Stay with us. All right, welcome back. Man, I love doing the bumper music here on Coast to Coast. I'm just going to tell you, it's one of the things that I enjoy the most, and I hope that you I think it's a pretty cool music selection. I just love it. And I wanted to say this really quick. I'm a Coast to Coast guy. I'm a Coast to Coast host. I come in here and I have the honor and the privilege to sit in for George on Friday nights. And sometimes they'll give me the whole weekend. And it is just one of the great things that I do. But the other thing that I do is I have a show, and it's called Fade to Black. So if you enjoy what I do here on Coast, and I'm not here to promote myself, I'm saying if you want to continue the fun, just go over and check out my show. It's very simple. Click on my name there on Coast to Coast. It'll take you over to my website for Fade to Black. And the cool thing is this, and we've done done it this way from the beginning for one reason. So you can listen to my show before Coast to Coast every single night. Both shows are live. So you have my show from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Pacific, and you roll right into Coast to Coast. So it gives you, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 hours of paranormal conspiracy talk every single night of the week. And you can follow me on Twitter at J Church Radio. It's that simple. Okay, I'm going to get out of here and get to the rest of your phone calls and wrap up this amazing Friday night. This is Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church, sitting in for George Norrie tonight. He is in Las Vegas. He's at the iHeart Music Festival. I'm here on open lines Friday. And so let's go to, as promised, Steve in Nikiski, Alaska. Steve, you're up next. Where is Nikiski?
Nikiski is on the Kenai Peninsula, about a three-hour drive south of Anchorage.
I have no idea where that is, Steve. You don't mind, do you?
It's south central Alaska.
I got you. Okay.
I might have run into that guy with the gold at some point, because I'm sure he lives nearby. It sounds like he's on the Kenai Peninsula here, but I don't know who he is.
Yeah, very interesting call that, Robert. Very interesting. You never know where that conversation was going to lead, and I would have loved to have gotten some more information.
I'm trying to figure out where some of these places are. Maybe I could find the gold myself.
I was thinking the same thing, man. Maybe you and I could go on a road trip together. So what's on your mind tonight, Steve?
Well, I wanted to thank you for having Dane Wigington on. I believe he's a true hero of humanity. I found his site about 5 years ago, and I've become an activist since then. Actually, his site fully awakened me to the reality of climate engineering, geoengineering, and what's happening in our skies, what's happening to our trees, our wildlife, our oceans, and it's all connected. So,
right.
I wanted to thank you for having him on, and I wanted to get to this part. I didn't hear any talk tonight about how hard it is for people to accept this. It's so painful when if you do go to Dane's site and you can spend 15, 20 minutes there and you realize the severity of the situation, and you put it all together with what you see in the skies, and you see the documentation, all the credible information and things you can find on his site, it's very painful. So a lot of people may go there one time and then totally go into denial.
Well, yeah, and you're right about that, Steve. And my only comment to that, because I see it over and over again. And Steve, you have some noise in your line.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. You're up in Alaska.
Yeah, I'm going to move a little closer to the receiver.
Okay. But it's this. There is nothing more polarizing. I thought politics was polarizing. I thought sports was polarizing. Feminine, masculine conversations, men and women, you know, polarizing. Nothing is more polarizing right now, today, than the conversations about the climate and what is causing it. If anything is happening, or is something happening, is it not? Is it? Yeah, it's incredible. And when you bring this subject up, you will make an enemy. It's crazy. I mean, not something that's just a ha-ha argument. I'm talking about things, you know, it gets violent out there.
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt. Like I said, I started speaking real loud in my community here about 5 years ago, spreading the word. And this area has been saturated with credible information provided through Geoengineering Watch. So it's changed my life, is what I'm getting at, because I spent 6 years in denial. I first saw these trails in the sky
right
in 2008. And I was in South Carolina, a trip to visit family from Alaska here, and then I came back, and for 6 years I pulled my hat down. I didn't look above the brim of my hat, and I quit watching the sky, and I didn't even investigate it, never even investigate it. But somehow, back about 2013, I think it was, the winter of 2013-14, I found Geoengineering Watch. I became an activist the next day, and I haven't stopped since. And it's for anybody that's feeling the pain of this, because it's very depressing when you look at the reality, when you look at the credible information, and you look at the truth and accept it. It's so painful that you want to hide from it. So you pull down your hat.
No doubt about that, Steve.
I just wanted to urge people to do what I've been doing. Speak about it as much as you can. It makes you feel better, and we all have to do it, because there's no future for our children and our grandchildren if we don't bring this to light and at least give us a chance. I believe there is hope.
And there is. And Steve, and thank you for the phone call. Steve is exactly right. That's all you have to do. Just spread the information. Just talk about it. That's the most important thing that we can do. And the website is just that. It is a wealth of knowledge. All right, let's go to Vondo. Vondo in south of Houston. Vondo, you're up next.
Hey, Jimmy Church, how are you?
I'm doing good, Vondo. How are you?
I appreciate the show. Now, it's really good. I really like to hear Dane. He's got a really good website. I want to second what everybody said.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
It's been a really great show tonight. Everybody's called in, has had a lot of interesting things to share. I really appreciate it. I was hoping to get in. I didn't know. I thought I'd just call in and talk right to Dane. I didn't know how difficult it was. It's my first time to call. But that stuff they sprayed down here, it killed the mosquitoes. It's the first time in 53 years I've ever seen anything kill the mosquitoes. I was going to ask them about that stuff. It also killed the bees. And it's also making people sick. So I don't know, you know, what was going on with that. That's what I wanted to comment on.
Yeah, it's pretty toxic. No doubt about it. And I was looking at, thank you for the phone call, Bondo. I was looking at all of the data about this and some of the responses coming back in social media. And not only social media, but through some of the news outlets. And they were saying, look, the water that is here and the stagnant pools and the dangers that these mosquitoes are going to create, we need to offset the toxicity and the dangers with these chemicals. And I don't know. That's a tough call, especially if you have children. I don't know. You know, is it worth it? But here you have Vondo saying, no, it's the first time we haven't had mosquitoes out here that he can remember. So, yeah, that's a tough, tough decision. Okay, let's go to Kenny in Woodland, California. Kenny, where is Woodland?
Well, you know, a lot of people think it's Woodland Hills up in the valley.
Right.
It's not. This is 20 miles up from Sacramento.
20 miles north, off of the 5.
Off of the 5 in Sacramento. Farming, but it's got an old town, and it's really a cool place. Hey, thank you for even letting me talk about the geoengineering. If you'd like to at least touch on that one more time.
Well, geoengineering, and thank you, Kenny, for the phone call. And having Dane on to talk about this, first off, I recommend everybody to go to Dane's website. It's right there. Click on his name right there at Coast to Coast. But geoengineering is just that, manipulating our weather. Okay, with any means possible, there has been a lot of spraying. There are other instruments and tools and technology that can manipulate the weather, heat up the ionosphere, reflect natural sunlight, absorb things, create freezing, snowing, raining situations out of things that normally the temperatures would not support that. All of this is part of geoengineering. It's one of the great conspiracies out there, but this is now turning into fact. And those facts and the data are presented very well over on Dane's website. So when somebody hears geoengineering, the weather, and you need to wonder, or you need to investigate it, just Google the terms. That's what you have to do. And then from there out, all of the research is right in front of you. So with that, let me go to international. Should we do international first time? Let's go to Kelly, first time caller, Glacier Park, Montana. Kelly, you're up next on Coast.
Wow, Jimmy. What a privilege.
Welcome. How are you?
Yeah, I'm great. Thank you.
What's on your mind?
Well, it's about people keeping their wits about them.
In reference to what, Kelly?
And all the changes. I really appreciate that Dane being on, and I'm tuning into that. Because I've been at his website for years, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think we've all seen in the sky changes and, you know, call them UFO or whatever. They're not natural, you know. There's things happening in our government, our industrial, military complex. And the word, I was trying to dig for a word this week, and I've known it for years, but it's a word, predacious, predatory.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the, you can't go on that, you know, full steam forever. You can't just eat up all the resources. You know, Jimmy, I've suffered. I've worked on these power stations. I've worked in refineries. You know, metals, oil, And I'm suffering the consequences. I've got cancer to deal with. I wish I wasn't there, but it's true.
Right.
These are health issues that, and, you know, I think the best thing is just, and my doctor told me, don't get stressed out. Just, you know, trust God and be thankful you got your family, your dogs, your horses, whatever around you.
Yeah.
Because I'll tell you what, you want to fight this thing, just go to living simpler, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Don't buy all this off fossil fuel if you don't believe it. I don't believe there's.
No, I think there's something, and Kelly, I want to thank you for the phone call. I think there's something about that, actually, living a simpler life and getting off the grid a little bit. Here in Southern California, where everything is so congested, it's all here. But for me and my career and my family, I have family that lives here a lot. And so we all live here, plus my career is here and everything that I do is here. But I got to tell you, you get out of L.A. just 10 or 20 miles in any direction, and you start to get out of the stress, and you see the simpler side of things, and it's just like, why do I live in Los Angeles? Why? But we do. So there you go. What are you going to do about it? Let's go to Michael in Washington, Pennsylvania. Michael, you're up next on Coast.
Oh, hi, Jimmy. First of all, happy fall to everybody.
Happy fall. Yes, it was, wasn't it? Did you bounce an egg today?
No, but I'm happy because I'm a Libra, so now the sun is in my sign, so I'm happy.
Yeah, I'm a Libra, too, so there you go.
I'm October 11th. Yeah, I think you're October 10th. Is that right?
Man, you know too much about me. You're freaking me out, Michael. Yeah, I'm the day before you.
Okay, well, happy birthday. Anyway, real quick, I just wanted to ask you, I had a great aunt. She has passed on now, but I think she was some sort of a spirit channeler because she basically, you know, she lived well into her 90s, and she couldn't talk much. In fact, before she passed away, she couldn't talk at all, but it was very weird. Like, all of a sudden, like, sometimes I would call her on the phone, and just out of the blue, she would just say these random things like, oh, you're going to be living on the West Coast and doing your own thing. One time I went to go see her in the nursing home, and she said, oh, you know, you don't owe your other family members anything. I mean, she would just say just this weird stuff, this woman who could barely talk, just out of the blue. So I just wanted to get your take on that real quick.
Yeah, but did it turn out to be true?
Well, I think there was some validity to it. I mean, the stuff that she said, I mean, you know, she talked about, well, eventually you're going to be living on the West Coast doing your own thing. I mean, I never even discussed that with her. Where would she get that from? Really?
Well, you know, what would be stranger is if, you know, next month you're on the West Coast and you bump into me at a Starbucks. Then, yeah, well, then now we've got an issue.
Well, actually, I'll be in L.A. next week. But
See? So she's right. Yeah, you know, I love it. And the thing is, I say this so often, Michael, and I really mean it. Your older family members, and especially the women, the older family, the grandmothers, the aunts, you know, the crazy aunt, the crazy great grandma, those women, they love to do the fortune telling. They love to talk. They love to do that spiritual side, supernatural side of life, even though they won't discuss it, they're all into it. So when that happens, listen, when I was a kid, when I was 20, 21 years old here on the West Coast, I've told these stories many times. I had a friend whose mom would get together with these four other older ladies, very, very cool, 50, 60 years old. At the time, I'm 20, right? So they were older. And they would sit around and do fortune telling with coffee grounds in cups. And they take the coffee cups, the Armenian Turkish coffee, Armenian coffee, and flip it over and then let it drain out and then look at the coffee grounds and tell your fortune. And they were always right. And it was the greatest fun ever, you know? And so it just, it taught me one important lesson. The older ladies in your family, they're the cool ones, Michael. Those are the ones. And when they do speak like that and they speak out, just stop and listen and take notice. I do, and I love every minute of it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. What was interesting is she was the last relative that was born in Europe that was still alive at this time. She came to this country, I think, at 14. So maybe that had something to do with it, too.
Yeah, absolutely, Michael. And don't be a stranger. We'll see you tomorrow night on our End of the World special. You don't want to miss it. We'll see you tomorrow.
Take care.
Yeah, you too. Thank you so much, Michael. Great phone call. Do I have time for one more, Dan? Can we squeeze in one? Okay, let's go to Charlie in upstate New York, the last call of the night. Charlie, what's on your mind?
Hey, first-time caller. Great show tonight. I really appreciate the guest. He was a wealth of knowledge, and I'll definitely be just checking out his website as soon as I get home there.
Right on, Charlie. Do you have a question or any other comments?
Yeah, I just, it's a little off topic, but, you know, ever since we had this incident, you know, with the KKK and everything, in the back of my mind, I wanted to call George, you know, and just share the idea that I wonder what the possibility is. You know, we ran through and talked about it. I think that was even proven that there was some protesters during the campaigns and stuff that were paid protesters that came in and, you know, caused a bunch of commotion and tried to, you know, make it look like there was a lot of hatred going on with certain parties. And
yeah,
what these,
yeah, and Charlie, and I've got to run because I got to wrap the show. When it comes to stuff like that, I don't do politics. You know, I read a little bit, but I don't like discussing it. And when it comes to stuff like that, I know that there is something going on constantly on both sides of the fence. It just depends on what day of the week it is. So with that, it wraps another Friday night here on Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Open lines on a Friday night. It's the best thing ever. But tomorrow night is our End of the World special with Gordon, James, Gianni Noto. That's right. It's going to be our End of the World special tomorrow night. I want to thank Dan, Gina, Lisa, Stephanie, Lex, George, and Tommy. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. This has been Coast to Coast AM. Go Beckley Teppy.